Oh, good to go. Sorry for the delay there, councillors. You're all very welcome to the first meeting then of the new year 2020. I'd like to wish everybody a happy new year. Any new year resolutions, keep them to yourselves.
I'm happy to try,
but the most important one is everybody tries just to work with each other. And let's hope he's all got the whatever he's wanted over Christmas. I swear to God, we'll see another tennis reach, selection box, or box of mouth three, or go bonkers. But on a more serious note, since we last met, there been quite a number of people who have tragically lost their lives as a result of accidents. John Paul Smith, Shane Cunningham on the dual carriageway, and some young fella in Warren Point, I think, took his own life as well, if I'm not mistaken. So we just maybe remember all of them, and our council sends sympathies to them all. On the John Paul Smith thing, there was a massive cooperation between the community and search teams, PSNI, and emergency voluntary organisations from the six counties and the 26 counties, which shows that there's good cooperation between all the agencies. I'd also like to mention the vandalism of the new Dale Park in Warren Point, which is an absolute disgrace. Just a recently completed £250,000 project, was it, or thereabouts? That's something we do not want in this district at all. When you think of the money that's been invested in those new play areas for people just to cause the damage and concern to local residents and user groups of whatever particular play park it is. So I think we're all united in our condemnation of that. Yes.
To include the young girl that tragically lost her life in Killay last Wednesday morning through suicide.
Thank you very much for that.
I can cover that, Charles.
Just a bit of information as well. I should have read this out before I started there. Members of the public should remain seated throughout the meeting and should not speak. Everyone should ensure their mobile phones are turned off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. The proceeds of the meeting will be audio recorded, except that the committee is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to microphone systems, so please ensure when you are speaking your microphone is switched on before you start speaking. And members are reminded they are personally responsible for any comments they make at a particular meeting. And I would remind members of the committee of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interest which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. And having declared an interest, members should leave the room for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in any vote. Thank you very much for that. Any apologies? Chair?
Councillor Burgess?
Anyone else? No?
Councillor Riley.
Councillor Brown. Any declarations of interest?
None, sir.
Item number three is the action sheet. You all have a copy there in front of you. You can see it on your laptop. Just through the pages. Page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. We all agree that a true and accurate record of what was discussed or actioned on from the last meeting. Do we need a proposer and seconder? Could we have a proposer and seconder, please? Proposed Terry Hardy. Seconded by Chief. Thank you very much. On to item number 4, the minutes of the council meeting held on the 2nd of December. You all have the minutes again in front of you there or on your laptop. Just go through it for accuracy. Page 1. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. We're all happy that that's a true and accurate record of what happened. Could we have a Proposed and seconded. Proposed by Mr. Gary Stokes. Seconded by Councillor Willie Clark. Hands rising again. No. Item number 5, which is the Minister of the Enterprise Regeneration and Tourism Committee. Once again, we could choose them for accuracy. Page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. We're happy enough that that's a true and accurate record. Do we have a proposer? Glenn, seconded by Dermot Corn, Councillor Dermot Corn. Thank you very much for that. Authorising no. Item number 6, Minister of the SPNR Committee. Once again, go through them for accuracy. Page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Are you happy enough that's the true and accurate record? Because we have a proposer and a seconder. Opposed, seconded, seconded by Councillor McAfee. Authorising no. Item number 7, Minister of the Active and Healthy Committee. Once again, through it for accuracy, page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Are we through, happy enough that that's a true and accurate record of what was said? Proposer, Barra, seconded by Liz. Do you want to raise something in it, Barra? No?
Yeah, just a quick point, Chair. On the issue that had come up just regarding the sports bubble and the school and club or that there, I asked a question just to make sure that everything was in order, given some of the questions that arose the last time this came before us and that. I was only asking the question so that it would, whenever other members came to read through the minutes, they would see that the question had been asked, but I see it hasn't been included in the minutes. So just perhaps that it could be included, or I could go back through, we could go back through the minutes and I could reiterate the question, just that they would reflect what was said at the meeting, you know. Thanks, Mayor.
Tea will be amended here.
Thank you.
Right. On to the minutes of...
Sorry, sir.
Sorry?
Yeah.
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, it's just right. On the item of the adoption of suicide down to zero. It's a question, first of all, about when the small grant scheme will be available, I'm assuming in the next financial year. And then the third bill found under that item, we actually already have a working group within the council that has only met once since its creation, so maybe if we could get that group meeting again, we could certainly be going towards the goal of zero suicides across the district.
Okay,
Jerry,
okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, you're right. The financial assistance will be in the next financial year. So the call will go out probably February, March 10 for next year. In terms of a meeting, we'll arrange a meeting as soon as we possibly can. I have a meeting with a number of representatives from the Trust and from Suicide Down to Zero group that currently exists, and I'm meeting them over the next few weeks. After that, we will intend to have a meeting of the full working group, if that's all right.
Okay. Thank you very much for that.
Chair.
Yeah.
Sorry, very done. Sorry, is that okay?
Yeah.
Just touching on the same subject as Councillor Sharvin regarding suicide down to zero motion. I'm delighted that it's went through. And I would just ask Michael that if we could look into it's £10,000 has been allocated for the project, for the scheme, and if all goes well this year, could we look into upping it for the following year? Because when you separate the £10,000 into the 7 DEAs, it's a drop in the ocean. But it would be great to see how the scheme fares out this year, and then hopefully we could increase the budget. But we'll see how it goes.
Thanks very much for that, Mark. Okay, happy enough. On to item number 8, which is the minutes of the Neighbourhood Services Committee meeting. Once again, go through it for accuracy. Page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, happy enough with that true and accurate record. Could we have a proposal and a seconder, please? Dermot Corn, seconded by Karen. Thank you. Any matters arising from that? No?
Yes, Chairman.
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah. PS2, Chairman. Review of municipal sanitary rules. Chairman, I'm just putting record my thanks to the officers for providing the information that was requested. But further to receiving that information, Chairman, I have noticed that within the term of this council, both Warren Point Municipal Cemetery and Monk's Hill Cemetery will be at full capacity. So I would just like to ask the Director what plans there are in place to deal with that issue when we reach that within the next couple of years, Chairman. Thank you.
Fair question.
Thanks, Chair. Yes, Councillor Tinley, the information you have that was provided to the committee is in relation to the current capacity with the cemeteries. I think you referred to Warren Point and Monk's Hill. Both have plans in place for extensions which should deal with the capacity issues going forward.
Okay, happy enough. Move on. Our next item is the draft minutes from an extract of the planning committee. Just have it in front of you. Any issues? You want to discuss that?
No.
Happy enough? Could we have a proposal and seconded, please? Declan, proposed by Declan, seconded by Jerry. Okay, I'm going to brilliant. On to correspondence. I think these are all just for noting. 10, 11, 12, 13, and 14. Would it be right? Anybody, unless somebody wants to raise an issue? Sean?
Yes, thanks, Chair. Just on the St. Louis amalgamation. St. Louis amalgamated it with the St. Columbans about 2 years ago.
The number 10.
There's been serious overcrowding in the school ever since. It's really a health and safety issue up there. So I'd like to propose that council officials meet with the Board of Governors to discuss any way we can help them with their application for funding.
Fair point.
Can
you second that? Second, if go ahead. Sorry. Laura, you're next. Sorry, go ahead.
Same issue, Chair, as Councillor Dorn. That letter, Chairman, is a plea for help. It's a plea of desperation on the part of that school. I mean, my eldest girl is an A-level student, upper sixth in St. Louis. And plans for St. Louis to get their new school, their much deserved and much needed new school, were in place when she was in the middle of primary school. And I have two children who have gone through that. And I mean, like that, I think it's extraordinary to get a letter like that actually to the council, because they feel that they're not being listened to elsewhere. So I fully endorse what Councillor Dorn has said here, that we should be helping in whatever way, shape or form we can. And it's not good enough that there's just lip service paid to these things going forward, particularly since the amalgamation, Chairman. It's busting at the seams and the faith falling down around them. Thank you.
Laura.
Thank you, Chair. Just to concur with the previous couple of speakers, I'm a past pupil in St. Louis, and I was invited back about maybe 3 years ago to speak to pupils about council and different bits and bobs, and not one single thing. I'm not the number of years I've left the school since, but nothing had changed since I went back, and they really are crammed in from a learning perspective, even just the general welfare. There's serious issues there in the schools, and most definitely I support Councillor Dorn's recommendation there, and would love to see some change and some movement.
Michael?
Yes, Chair. Just before we move on to the issues going to raise, I met with the Principal and Board of Governors at St. Louis in an up-to-date election, and I saw it firsthand, the challenges they face, and I would echo all the sentiments that's here. I think it's a great school, a very happy school, and a school that really needs new 21st century facilities, and I think the council should with Pullman's full support behind the campaign to get the new school. But sure, I just want to welcome the response from item number 11, the response from Middlesbrough Council in relation to the issue of the appeal service that we raised. And I think that the more councils have come back to us on that, the better. I think that's something that we need to apply pressure on the Permanent Secretary and the Chief Executive of the Appeal Service to ensure that those appeals are held in the correct service, and I welcome the support from that, and thank the Chief Executive for writing off to them. Thank you.
Just for information, Arts and North Down also responded to us today.
Sorry, couldn't see your light there. Ken, go ahead.
Chair, just on some news, I have no problem supporting that as well, sir. And just to point out as well, Kilkeel High School is in a similar position, so it is, and I'm sure Councillor McKee will agree with me on that. All the schools in Mourne actually need an upgrade, so that Kilkeel High School maybe doesn't need as much as St. Louis, but it would need at least a half bill. So perhaps the council should actually support all the schools there, and I don't think there'll be a problem here with that.
I don't see it being a problem. All right.
Yes, Chairman, I would agree. I certainly would agree with what St. Louis is like. I know there's been no new builds there in years, but Kilkeel High School was similar. Around the same time, both of those properties were pretty much ready to go, ready to build. And I'd actually spoken to her officer, Michael Lipset, about setting up meetings. I was in contact with all the principals of all the schools in the Moorings area, and the meeting was just about to go, but it was getting near holiday time, and some councillors couldn't make it at that time. So I would ask that those meetings would still take place. If Michael, we could try and get those principals back into the one room with council officials and see if we get something going there again. Because I know the schools, even smaller schools, are also crying out for help too. And they felt as though there was no voice. And I did speak to a chief, someone pretty high up in the Education Authority. We met them at the Community Partnership meeting, and I spoke to him about that subject. And I said to him about how we had shelf-ready plans for Kilkeel High and St. Louis. I mentioned both schools. And I says, could you tell me, is those plans still sitting on the shelf, or what are we waiting for? He says, as time has gone past, he says, those plans mean nothing. And he says, they have to start from the beginning again. So I was taken back to that. I was surprised. I understood that these things are sitting ready to go. Get the money, get it going. Get the assembly, get it going. But that's not the case. They have to go back and look at what they need. Now, whether any of the schools have done that, but if we had a meeting with them, we'd soon find out what the position is. Thank you.
Terry, you want in on
13?
Terry wants in number 13.
First of all, thanks, Chairman, and I have read very much with alarm the tone of the letter from NI Water. And as a local Rowan councillor, I would be concerned about the impact this is going to have on the residents in the likes of Stainfield, who have had to put up with a whole lot with sewage and living in the dread of heavy rain showers or whatever. And also the fact is, as well as that, it's going to have a long-term effect on the Stainfield and other places. You have to endure infrastructure that is part of sell-by date and seen better days. And with the lack of funding that's indicated in the letter, it's quite worrying. But the sounds of this, people are going to suffer more and endure and pull up with more inconveniences. I'd like to make a proposal that this council do pass on our concerns to NI Water about the letter that's been received and about the effect that's going to happen to residents right across the board.
Declan?
Yeah, sure. Actually, the same thing. But if you don't, Mr. Ellesmere of NI Water has actually written to council expressing their concern. And it's funny, this coincides with, I've just been made aware that I know in Newry, some of the industrial land that's designated for investment, that it's potentially been held up because of the lack of the ability to connect to the sewage system. And this is actually now, at this stage, it seems going to prevent any further industrial development in the lands that were designated, and we were at this council, I think, were complaining at stages that these lands were not being used. So it's a very serious situation where we maybe potentially have people coming in, moving in their businesses, and they can't now use them because the infrastructure is not in place. We're heading towards third world type of economics here,
if that's the situation we're in, that we cannot set up industrial and economic investment units because the infrastructure isn't right. So is he here a plea from NA Water to ourselves to raise it? So, you know, we do have to take it to some further power, whatever, in place, Secretary of State, whatever it is, along with obviously all accounts of weather have been mentioned in it as well. So, just to back up what Terry was saying, but you know, when it gets into economic development, we're in serious difficulties. So, we'd ask Marie maybe to opinion about what where we take this next.
Yeah, Chair, Northern Ireland Water are actually coming to a special council meeting at the end of January. I know that they have been very proactive in highlighting the issues right across Northern Ireland from a water infrastructure perspective, so I'd suggest we look at that for the detail of the council meeting at the end of January and discuss it with them then.
Okay, thank you.
William? Just, Chair, thank you very much. Just in relation to the Northern Ireland Water letter, I totally agree with Councillor Andrews in relation to it. I don't think we can leave it as it is. We have serious, serious issues in the St. Field area. Myself, Councillor Andrews, an MP for the area, met with senior officials from Northern Ireland Water to hammer home the need for an upgrade there in St. Field, because there is a moratorium at the minute where Northern Ireland Water is saying that new bills can't be allowed to proceed because they won't let them connect to the system because of the serious, serious problems in that St. Field area. We can't allow that to continue. The winter is here on us again, and people are going into their toilets and the raw sewage is coming up into their homes, coming up into their gardens, because the system can't take it. Now, it's not the sewage treatment works is the problem. The capacity's there. It's actually the infrastructure and the pipes. They're not big enough to cope with the new bills in that area. So a lot of people who have maybe plans for new bills can't get them. They're fearful of putting a planning application in case they're sitting in the bends or in case they're turned down because of it. So I think we have a perfect opportunity here at the end of the month to question Northern Ireland Water, because it's not good enough. It's not good enough. As far as I'm concerned, St. Field is part of Uri Mornin Down. It's part of the Rowallan area. And I think we should be lobbying. That is a serious. They're talking maybe about $1.5 million, $2 million to upgrade that. I think we should be lobbying to make sure that money is found for that, because it's not going to stop. It's going to get worse, though it is. And people's lives have been made a misery year in, year out, because of it. So I think the perfect opportunity will arise come the end of the month, and if we don't get satisfaction, we do need to take it to the powers that be. If there's no assembly sitting come February, we need to be going to, if there's a direct rule minister, we need to be going there, we need to be going to somebody, so we do in relation to this, to get this here sorted.
Well, Chair, just very briefly, I think NI Water, that's exactly what they're saying, they don't have the budget. And regardless of we meet them at the end of the month, they're going to still say they don't have the budget. Again, this is austerity, cutting all the public services right across across the water and also in the north. And every issue we sort of raise here is in regards to the cuts to public services. So I think, yes, hopefully we do have assembly back and run. I don't like Billy's negative tones there about direct rule ministers. I hope we have a local minister in place where we can raise these concerns, and we have a cash injection put in to deliver public services for our people. We had this on a regular basis where new builds can't get linked up to sewage systems. It's impacting on our construction industry. It's impacting on our well-being, people getting housing, appropriate housing, and also jobs, as Declan said as well. But I just want to make it clear, it's cuts to the block grant which is causing this pressure.
Jonathan?
This is an issue I'm sure you're well aware of yourself in relation to the ongoing issues in relation to sewage, in relation to the meadow area in Uri. As you know, we have a family, someone with people with special needs within their homes where the toilets are coming up on a regular basis every time there's heavy rainfall. And this has been years of underinvestment in that area. And I'm sure you, as others, along with myself, have been on the Northern Ireland Water continually to try and get that system upgraded. It's not just the new builds that we've issues with. We have a whole infrastructure inside on housing sites that were built 50, 60 years ago that have never been upgraded. And on top of that, the pressure is coming in from other areas into that system and clogging it up. And it's getting to the stage now where even in the middle of the summer, when there's heavy rain, we're getting phone calls from the same residents trying to get somebody to come out and de-sludge the tanks and try and clear the system. And, you know, it was only when we walked with them last year that it became abundantly clear that we're dealing with a major need for significant investment in that area, because we walked the whole area with the guys with the CCTV to see was there breakages and blockages in the system, and it became apparent it wasn't. It was very much down to capacity in that issue, in that area, and the capacity issue is so great that when there's heavy rainfall at all, the system just cannot take it. And from what I can understand as well, there are potentially another two housing developments due to go in to that vicinity. And I think there's a need as well for us to be talking to developers about their level of investment in relation to the infrastructure in those areas to make sure that the capacity isn't extended there, or is extended and it's able to take those additional houses coming in. But, you know, we need investment in our water and sewage system, and, you know, we're going to have to get devolved government back to deal with that issue. And places like the Meadow and Uri, where people have had to deal with this for maybe 15, 20 years at least since the capacity issue has developed, we need to get the investment in those areas. We can upgrade areas like that as well as making sure that we have the infrastructure to take in new sites. So, Chair, I would want us to be also homing in on the fact of the need to reinvest in areas that have been sites that have been and estates that have been part of the system for maybe 4 or 5 decades as well, Chair.
Jonathan?
Am I allowed to talk on point 14, item 14, or any more on 13?
Yeah, any more on this issue? Are you on this issue?
This issue.
I'll let him in. Go ahead.
Well, in a lot of ways, the NA Water letter is similar in context to the St. Louis letter. I just want to make the point, there's no big decisions ever taken in this part of the world. They're kicked down the road forever and a day because the political parties are afraid to take the decisions. And there's a day right in common for all those public services, including education, health and the whole lot, and all the difficult decisions that had to be taken. And I remember reading years ago that the introduction of water charges would have sorted out the infrastructure problem for the likes of NA Water, and I certainly not advocating that. The point I'm making to you is that all these big decisions continuously be shoved up the pipe for somebody else to deal with. And now there's nowhere else to go. And all that's going to bust very, very soon.
You pardon the pun.
Totally independent.
and don't get stuck around the bend. Sorry, go ahead. Catherine.
Thank you. I've read over Richard Pengelly's letter, and to be quite honest with you, I'm not entirely surprised at his reply back to us, as far as there's not much that he can do without legislation. My point, though, then, is bringing it back to something that we can do. Is there anything, you know, that we could do, even at a council level, as far as trying a lot of things that we would hear as far as donors and things like that would be, oh, well, I never really thought about it. I never spoke to my family about it. You know, it's not something, it's really grim and morbid and not something that we want to talk about. And there are people that are dying in traffic accidents that are perfectly good donors that then they don't know, their family members don't know whether or not they wanted to donate or whether they don't. And there are literally people dying in both aspects, organs, perfectly good organs that are going into the ground, and then likewise then the flip side, people are dying because these perfectly good organs are going in the ground. So is there anything that we can do as a council as far as trying to educate, trying to push a bit more as far as people putting themselves on the donor? Whether or not it's something, I don't know if we have things like donor registration, surgeries or anything along those lines. I'm just throwing ideas out there, but surely in the meantime, until eventually they all decide to get back up in the hill, surely there is something that we can actually do in the meantime as a council at council level. Thank you.
A couple of people still looking in. Roisin.
Thank you, Chair. Just on that, as many of the councillors that were here in the previous council will know, that was one of the things that I tried to highlight during my term in chair, and we did a number of workshops with young people, and we had a group from a charity called Brave Heart that supports young people who are waiting on transplants come down and speak to them, and it was a hugely successful event. I know from that there were a number of schools in the area, you know, brought all the information regarding organ donation into the schools and discussed it at assembly. I think this is perhaps something that we could push forward through our DES structures. And I know we have done a number of initiatives regarding mental health, and perhaps if we ask the DES structures to also include the likes of organ donation, it is a subject which many people, well, it's a conversation you hope you're never going to have as a family, but unfortunately it does happen. So yeah, I think maybe if we can bring it up maybe again at active and healthy communities and perhaps through our DES structures, the appetite for knowledge is there, and I think anything we can do to spread that knowledge would be hugely beneficial.
Before we take Megan and Terry, once again, the same issue.
Daniel, thank you very much, and I do concur with the previous speakers, and I think I do agree with the points that have been raised, and I think maybe as a council that we should go down some of the avenues that we have available, such as Roisin and G's Touch, as our DEAs, and maybe we could liaise with the likes of the Education Authority and with the trusts or whatever in our area to highlight such an important subject and see if a better awareness can be rolled out. But I do support the efforts of all concerned.
Michael, do you want to respond?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Yes, it's a very good idea. I'm more than happy to bring a report forward to AHC, and we'll detail out how we're going to approach this. We currently meet with the Trust and the PHA on a regular basis, as well as the Department of Education and the Education Authority. So quite happy to do that, try and gather the information on what they're doing, see what we can do to assist them, and roll it out through the DEA structures. That's fine, we'll do that.
Thank you very much for that. We already have a proposal and a second for correspondence. So on to the two notices of motion. Now, the first one, number 15, Brownville biodegradable bags. And you're biodegradable of written here, isn't it? That's in Catherine Owens. And Catherine, procedure is this has been deferred to Neighbourhood Services, so yep. You can propose a motion, read it out, get a second, and then we'll move on. Is that all right?
Yep, no problem. So this council will maximise food waste collection, contributing to our recycling targets and reduction of our carbon footprint by simply. I've got your problem now. I've got your teeth in, have I? We'll try again. Carbon footprint by simplifying its biodegradable bag delivery system to residents. There we go. Got there. And can I propose this, please?
Thank you very much. Number 16, rural development funding, is in the name of Councillor Cathy Mason. Cathy, this has been referred to ERT, so just propose a motion, read it out, get a second, and then we'll move on. That's okay.
Okay, thanks, Chair. This council recognises the transformational impact that rural development funding has had on many of our local rural communities throughout the district. Notes the negative impact that the loss of this funding opportunity will have for many isolated rural communities who would have availed of such funding opportunities, and therefore agrees to source ways in which this council can continue to help invest in our rural communities.
Thank you very much. We'll have a second for that.
Yes, sir. Sorry, I'm not.
Thank you very much for that. Where's your light on, Declan?
I don't
know. Laura?
Chair, can I come in another item? I think something was omitted from the chairman's remark. I think it was a successful Cruise football club at the weekend, and maybe ask the district.
Yeah, I was going to ring that up.
Yeah.
I've got to commiserate with Slot Neil and congratulate
him. Thank you, sir.
As long as we mention the term. And Fallon Hinch, Olympic.
You won the Border Cup.
Won the Border Cup.
Congratulations.
There is no border.
No.
Pardon? Forgot about that. Oh, God.